We continue our learning of Yiddish. Mas Davi b'Menachem Shemicham Yaakov b'Pinchas Eliyo. We're in Mechores Perak Aleph Mishnah Beis. Parasha Yolda Kamin Chamor. A case where a cow gave birth to something that looked more like a donkey. Let's say the animal doesn't have split hoofs as it should if it were a regular offspring of a para. Or v'Chamor Sheyolda Kamin Sus. Or you have a chamor, a donkey, that gave birth to something that looks more like a little more like a horse than it looks like a donkey. Patur min ha-bechorah. Mishnah says in both of these cases, there's an exemption from bechorah, which means the donkey born from the cow or the horse born from the donkey doesn't need to be given to a kohen or redeemed with a seh. No din of petach hamor, no din of bechorah. Why do I need the Mishnah to tell me both cases where a parah gave birth to something that looks like a donkey, or a donkey that gave birth to something that looks like a sus? So the Bartunah says like this: E tana parah sheyaldo kimin chamor velo tana chamor sheyaldo kimin sus. Let's say had only the first case. The parah gave birth to something that looked like a chamor. Hava amida parah sheyaldo kimin chamoru de pater. Only in the first case would you be pater, where a parah gave birth to something that looked like a donkey. Mishum de lo dami yahad. They don't look like each other at all. This one, the mother has horns and the offspring does not. The para has split hoofs and the donkey does not. But had you not given me the second case where a chamor gave birth to something that looked like a sus, maybe it's just a red chamor, and maybe you would be chayev in such a case, that when the din of petach hamor. So why don't you just teach me the seifa case, that there you're going to be pater, and certainly in the reisha case. So vitana seifa v'lotani reisha hava amina chamor sheyoldo kamin susu de pater. I would have thought only the second case is pater. Why? Mishum de sus lo kadosh bebechora. It is because a sus doesn't have kedushas bechor at all. So maybe that's why I would say, okay, so that's why there's going to be an exemption. Aval para sheyoldo kamin chamor, but a para gave birth to something that looked like a donkey, which is the first case. Again, had you taught me only the second case, I wouldn't have known the first case had an exemption, because I would have said, oh, a para that gave birth to a donkey, maybe in that case we both have kedushas bechor, the para because it's a kosher animal, a chamor because it's petach chamor, emel chayv, maybe they would be chayv. So therefore tzrichi, therefore I need both cases to tell me you're going to be pater. And why are you pater? So Mishnah quotes the pasuk, shenemar petach chamor shnei pa'amim. So the fact that it says petach hamor twice, and the Bartunur says where chad bekadesh li kol bechor, that's in Parshas Bo, Shmos Yud Gimel, and chad berei ata omer elai, and also in Parshas Kisisa, in Shmos Lamedalad, I have a petach hamor written twice to teach you the one giving birth has to be a chamor, and the one that's the offspring has to be a chamor. That's where the kedusha bechor or petach hamor applies. Then the Mishnah says, "Umahim ba'achila." We don't know. Can the offspring of, if it's a kosher, the mother's kosher, but the child doesn't resemble the kosher mother. So are you allowed to eat? You're allowed to eat it. And the same thing would have to the same thing. If you have the offspring of an unkosher animal, the offspring looks like a kosher animal. So I have split hoofs, let's say. Maybe I should be able to eat the child, even though the mother is not kosher. So that's what Mishnah wants to know. Mahim ba'achila. So says the Mishnah, behema tahora sheyolda kimin behema tameya. You have a kosher animal that gave birth to something that looks like a non-kosher animal. That's our first case. A parah gave birth to something that looks like a donkey, meaning a calf is born by, but the hoofs are not split. Mutar ba'achila, although it looks like a non-kosher animal, since the mother's kosher, you're able to eat it. Utmeah sheyolda kimin behema tahora asur ba'achila. But the reverse, if you have a non-kosher animal that gave birth, we had a donkey, gave birth to something that looks like a calf, meaning it's a donkey with split hoofs, you're not allowed to eat it. Although it may look like a kosher animal, the mother's not kosher. Where do we learn this? From the Gemara, and that Vavim and Aleph quotes a braisa. The pasuk says, Ach es zeh lo sochlu mi ma'alei ha-geira umi mafirsei ha-parsa. So these are the animals you should not eat from those that chew their cud and have split hoofs. So what does this pasuk teach us? Yeah, they're going to be animals that you can eat that have signs of being kosher. They're male gaira. They chew their cud. Mafrias apples have split hoofs. Nonetheless, zelo tochlu. There are going to be animals that will not, that even though they have these signs, you're not going to be able to eat them. Then the Mishnah explains, Shayotze mi'atame tame, vayotze mi'atame tame. That's the general rule. Anything that comes from a tame animal, a non-kosher animal, is going to be not kosher. And if it comes from tahor, even though it may look like it's not kosher, tahor, it's going to be kosher. Says the Bar Tanura, u'devashtra, then you ask, hold on, what about, let's say you have bee honey. That sounds like what you're telling me. That which is yotze minatame is tame. So that means I shouldn't be able to eat a bee honey. So the Bartanura addresses this. Udvash devorim utsroim mutar. But the honey of bees, of hornets, is permitted. Velo mikri yotze minatame. And it's not considered that it comes from something non-kosher. Lefi she'ein mimatzos oso mibisaron. Elamachnisos oso legufon. He's telling you what really happens. He says the bees, so what do? They take the nectar into their bodies, but they don't secrete it from their bodies. The nectar comes from the flowers that's eaten by the bee. He stores it in the body, and then eventually becomes honey, but it has nothing to do with, it's not coming from the bee itself. What about, and then he says, another, she'ochlos mipircha ilanos, they eat from the prachim, from the flowers of the trees, which has the nectar, umehena said devash. What about the chalav adam? What about the have milk from a human being? Mutar kishe piresh. That is permitted when it is separated from the body. Meaning what? We should ask the following question. Now I'd eat a human being, so maybe I shouldn't be able to drink the milk from a human being. So human milk, even though it comes from the body, which is forbidden to be eaten, you're allowed to drink it as long as it's, you know, a child is able to suck the from the body itself, but that's not something an adult is able to do. That is why not? If milk is permitted, nonetheless, it should be permitted however you drink it. So the Chachamim said, no, that's not allowed, because many people think that milk from an kosher animal is also allowed. But if you drink the milk, or human milk, from a kli, let's say, so then no one's going to think that, no one's going to know where the milk came from. So no one's going to then make the mistake and think that milk from a non-kosher animal would be mutter as well. Then the Mishnah says, fish, dug tamesha bala, dug tahor, mutter bachili, have a non-kosher fish, and it swallowed a kosher fish. So that kosher fish is going to be tahor. You find a kosher fish inside a non-kosher fish, so you're able to eat it. You didn't see it. Now, if you saw it swallowed, there's no question. But let's say you didn't. Maybe this is the offspring of that. So says the Bar Tanura, no. Afal gav de lo chazino la shebala. You didn't see it swallow it. Kevan derov dogim mashritzam biminam kemo shebala bifaneinu dami. Since we know that the majority of fish, they breed their own, not other fish, but ones that look like themselves, their own kind. And this, obviously, the fact that it's a kosher fish that you found inside the non-kosher fish, it was not breeded from that fish itself. It's tantamount to actually having seen it swallow it. You can be so sure that this is not coming from a non-kosher fish. This is a kosher fish. V'tor shebala dog tamei asur b'achila. And if you have a kosher fish that swallowed a non-kosher fish, and you didn't know, see it one way or the other, so that is asur b'achila. Similar to the previous case, we can assume that since what's inside is not from the mother fish, but rather this is the way it was swallowed. So therefore, in this case it would be usher, because there's a gdug tamei that's inside that was swallowed. Lefish en gidulav. So Mishnah explains why this is. The reason for both of these two halachos is because it's very clear that the fish that was found inside is not the offspring of the larger fish. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Chamur shelo bikra. You have a case where a chamor, it's the first time it's having a child, so potentially this is going to be a petar chamor, a firstborn donkey that has to be redeemed with a seh or a goat. V'yaldo shnei zecharim, and it gave birth to two males. So one of them is definitely the petar chamor. We assume now, this is why we assume maybe both, maybe they were born at the same time. So this we'll learn in the second perek, whether it's possible to simultaneously give birth to two animals at the the same time, with the heads of the two animals to come out at the same time. That's what we call efshar litzamsem. You can be precise. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion. But our Mishnah is assuming, like the Chachamim, that efshar litzamsem, and therefore there's no possibility in our Mishnah that they were born at the same time and both are kadosh. We know one was born before the other. One is the Petach Hamor, one is kadosh. We're just not sure which one it is. So the Mishnah here says, no sein taleh echad la'kohen. What do you have to do? You give one of them we know was born first. So the halacha is that you have to redeem it with a seh, and you have to give that to a kohen. What about Zachar and Akeva? What about the gave birth Chamor Shalo Bikra is the first time it's giving birth, but maybe neither of these are Kadosh, because maybe that which was born first was the Nekeva, was the female, and there's no Kiddush at all. So says the Mishnah, in such a case, the first two offspring of the donkey were male and female, so maybe the female was born first and there's no Kiddusha. Mafrish Tale Echad La'atzmo. What does he do? He has to be Mafrish Tale, because it's you have to be strict. You're not sure. But nonetheless, you don't have to give it to the Kohen, because Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya, the burden of proof is upon the Kohen to prove that, in fact, it was the male that was born first, and the Teleh and the sheep that you separated on its behalf belongs to the Kohen. Since he can't prove that, so therefore the Teleh, they say you're able to keep for yourself. The Mishnah continues, Shtei Chamorim Shelo Bikru. You have two chamorim. Now we have two mothers, two chamorim that haven't had yet a child. So the yoldu shnei zecharim, and they gave birth each one to a male, so that each one is a petach chamor. So it says them now. You didn't see them give birth, but you can assume that each one gave birth to a male. What's the hava mina? So maybe I would have said that maybe one of them miscarried and the other gave birth to two, to both of them, and only one of them is a bechor. No, we assume they have two mothers, and each one has not given birth, but we could assume that each one gave birth to one male, and therefore you have in front of you two petar chamors. So says the Mishnah. So therefore, no shein shnei tloyim kala kohen. You have to give two tloyim, two sheep, to a kohen. Zachar nekeva, but let's say these two chamorim shelo bikru, each one about to give birth to its first child, and now I see in front of me a zachar nekeva. So one gave birth to a male, one to a female. O shnei zacharim nekeva, or let's say I see two males and a female. No sein taleach ala kohen. You have to give only one tleh to the kohen. Why? Because this is a suffix. I see a zachor nekeva. One of them gave birth to a. Leave out the suffix for a moment. Here the Mishnah says I have two mothers haven't given birth. Two zacharim are born in the first case, so you have to give two to the kohen. Here a zachor nekeva are born, so the nekeva there's no kedusha. The zachor has kedusha. Now I may not know which is the mother, but nonetheless I know each of these mothers did not give birth just yet, so therefore the zachor certainly has kedusha. What about the case of? But the Mishnah also said if you have two zacharim and in a keva, it says no sein tleh echad la'kohen. What does that mean? So this case also, whether one of the donkeys gave birth to both males and the other donkey gave birth to a female. So in that case, there's the bechor of the first. Gave birth to two males, but it's only the older one. Or whether one donkey gave birth to a male, the other donkey had a male and a female. So you know one of them is, of these animals, is one of the males is going to be a bechor. So therefore, yet no doubt one seh has to be given to the kohen. But what else do you need to do? Besides, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but it says, no sein tleh echad la'kohen. Yeah, one tleh has to be given to a kohen. But besides that, which you give to the kohen, where in this case, when two donkeys give birth to two males and one female, you also have to set aside another seh, or goat, which you can keep for yourself. You don't have to give it to the kohen. It's Hamos Mechav al Varaya, but I have to do it as a suffix anyway. Why? Because maybe the second male which was born is also a Bechor. Maybe that was the older twin of the female. So we're not sure, but you have to set it aside as a suffix. Now, one of the questions we could ask on that is that shouldn't this be what we call a svek sveka, a double suffik, and therefore we should have the right to be to permit such a thing and not require the owner to set aside an extra sale? Why? Because number one, maybe one donkey gave birth. What's the double suffik? Maybe one donkey gave birth to both males and the other a female. So then there's only one bechor. That's one possibility. And even if one donkey gave birth to a male and a female, so it's possible the female was the first one. And therefore, there's also only one bechor. So should we say svek sveka? So why do we not say svek sveka? So they had to be matir and not require the separation of an extra seh. So the answer is that we only say svek sveka lehetera, to be matir, to be lenient, when that obligation would require the owner to lose something. So then we'll be able to be lenient. If the svek sveka will end up causing a loss to the owner, so then we say, okay, svek sveka, we have the right to be lenient. But in this case, what are you doing? You're only setting aside a seh, just to be sure, to protect yourself. So what are you doing with it? You're not giving to the kohen. Since you don't lose out on anything, you just have to set it aside. We won't say svek sveka to be lenient. You set it aside. Then the Mishnah says, shtei nekevos v'zachar, o shnei zacharim nekevos. Here, in this case, where the mothers are these two chamorim, which hadn't give birth just yet, and now what do we have in front of us? We have two females and a male, or two males and two females. So it's in both of these cases possible that the females were born before the males, so maybe there's no bechor at all. So the Mishnah says, in such a case, ein kan lakoin klum. The kohen doesn't get anything. It's not, says the Bar Tunor, Suffolk and the Shemekol, Chada Yoldo Zachornikeva. Maybe each one gave birth to a male and a female. Remember what we had, right? You have Shtei Nekevos and a Zachar, or Shtei Zachar and Shtei Nekevos. So Shema HaNekevos, Yatsu Tchila. Maybe the Nekevos, the females were born first. And therefore the Kohen doesn't have anything. Says the Bar Tunor, though, Ela Mafish, Alein Shnei Tlaim La'afkwe Li'isu Rayu Vein La'atzman Kach Per Shu Rabosai. Said the Bar Tunor, although the Mishnah doesn't say it, it says Ein Kan La'Kohen Klum, means you don't give the Kohen anything. But there is a suffix here, and therefore maybe the males were born first, and therefore, and maybe even two, they have two males, so, and maybe both were the firstborn of each of these Chamorim. So you have to, just to release the possibility of an Isser, you have to set aside two Tlaim, two sheep, but you get to keep them. Then he says the Bar Tunor, "Aval Rambam Savar the Ein Kan LaKohen Klum." According to the Rambam, the Kohen doesn't get anything. It means Va'afilu Tleh La'atzmo Einu Tzarich La'hafrish. You don't have to be mafrish even a Tleh for the possibility. Bishum De'ika B'chol Chad Mehanach Sveki Tuva. There are many Sveikos that we have in such a case. K'sheyoldu Shtei Nekevos V'zachar. So take for example, when it, in the case where these two animals that had mothers had Chamorim had yet to give birth, and what do we have? We see in front of us two females and a male. Shema achas mishtein yolda shtein nekevos, v'achar ezachar. Maybe one of them gave birth to the two females and the one gave birth to a male. So in that case, it's true, the second animal would be petach chamor, but oshema zu yolda nekeva v'achar ezachar. Or maybe this one gave birth to a female and the other one had a zachar, va'acharav nekeva, and then the other one, so that zachar, the first one of the other one would be a petach hamor, o nekeva v'achar zachar, but it's possible it also gave birth to a female first and then a zachar. V'chein sveikos harbe yesh b'shnei zachar m'shnei shtei nekevos. And if the case is where you see in front of you two males and two females that you see in front of you, you have many sveikos of what possibly happened, and since there are multiple doubts here, the Rambam holds Hilkach Afilu Tlela Atzmo Eino Mafrish, says the Bar Tunor, the Perish Rabbo Sai Ikar. I think my Rebbeim are correct that you would have to be Mafrish in these cases where you see in front of you two females and a male, or two males and two females, that you have to, as a Suffolk, you have to separate Tleh. Because of the possibility, and maybe two, possibility of having a Petach Hamor, although you don't have to give it to the Kohen.